Hey there, folks. It's Brock with the Sprocket Podcast. I am standing in my backyard in my Southeast Portland neighborhood. I do live in the domain of crows. There are so many blackbirds flying around in this area. So you hear them now, and you will hear them later on in this interview with Tim Navarette.
Tim Navarette.
Of Gen Z, who that's a company that's working with Urban Mobility Solutions.
Gen Z it is. Gen Z. Generation Zero Emissions, Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z.
There we go.
All different meanings.
Timely.
Yes, yes.
We got a chance to talk about e-bikes. They've got a new product they're rolling out, and he was nice enough to stop by and let me test ride one. So we talked a little bit about that. I hope you enjoy our conversation, and you can check out their stuff at genze.com. That's G-E-N-Z-E.com. Now, without further ado, my conversation with Tim.
Hey, Tim, it's Brock. Sorry, I just missed that call. I was about to text you back. I'm one block north of that.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Thanks. See you then.
It's all good. How's it going?
Brock, nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thanks for coming out. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the time. And here's my somewhat obnoxiously large vehicle, but...
Hey, it's well wrapped. It looks lovely.
Well, let's go ahead and I can pull it over out on the side here.
Sounds like a plan. My day is great. I just got back from work, so it's nice to finally be off the clock. And wow, this thing is so spacious inside.
Yeah. The one thing about these vans is they are... they're quite fuel efficient and they're very functional.
I was looking at the website and it looks like this is the second electric vehicle you've come up with, right? Because the first was a scooter or thereabouts?
Yeah, so basically our whole sort of philosophy for existing, I guess, is that we innovate around urban mobility. I'm going to jump down. There we go. So the scooter that you see on the side here, technically, we like to call it a sort of a two-wheel urban commuter vehicle.
Okay.
Because it's a little bit different than your traditional scooter, if you will.
But, right, right.
So we engineered, designed that from the ground up in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Nice.
And then we work with a partner for the e-bike. But our engineers, sort of this version of it was vetted by our engineers. So
okay.
There were some changes that we made to the... motor controller and battery and things alike.
Yeah. So you got I'm guessing the battery is here in the thick part?
Yeah, so the battery is integrated in the frame.
Oh, there we go.
Which is important to us. So basically, it does a couple things. It helps with the weight because e-bikes are heavier, right?
Right.
So you've got some weight up front, and then you've got the weight of the motor in back. So you don't have... Some e-bikes have the battery here or on the down tube.
Like on a rack or something like that. But,
correct.
But this one is not... yeah, and it's a removable battery. You just took it out and put it back in, so that's that means you can charge it without the bike having to be there, right?
Exactly. Perfect for if you live in an apartment or a dorm or something like that. I mean, the United States is urbanizing so fast. We're moving into taller and taller buildings, and so both of our vehicles sort of have that in mind. The battery on the 2.0 is also removable.
Okay, that's the not a scooter, but,
right, exactly.
But the other urban mobility device.
Indeed, indeed.
Okay, yeah. Nice. I was just looking at apartments actually the other day, not to move, but just I was curious. And they had a bike room, but if you're not on the first floor, you're nowhere near your bike. So this would help you in that sort of situation where, like, if you've got your bike stored in a shared bike room or something like that, or locked up in a garage or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. That was so the integrated battery was important to us.
Yeah.
Weight is always important with e-bikes. Ours comes in about 46 pounds, which is a little bit lighter than, it's heavy for a bike, but it's manageable.
Yeah.
And it's lighter than a lot of other e-bikes on the market too.
So it's made of aluminum. It looks like by the decal down there.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. It's an aluminum frame. It's a hub motor in the back. And, there's a small display here.
Yeah, this is a...
So, your speed, obviously. There's actually six different gears.
Yeah.
For the motor, as it were. And then you also have seven speed Shimano.
Okay, so you got one chain ring in front and mm-hmm. seven rings in back.
Correct.
And then there's also gearing inside the motor itself.
Right. So the numbers go from 0 to 5 for how much assist you get. So,
okay.
Actually, 0 is just throttle, so you don't have to pedal there.
And it's up on its kickstand right now, so the wheel's rotating above the pavement.
Yeah. The center stand is kind of interesting, too. It's nice for a bike like this.
Yeah, this is the... does that fold up into one when it gets put away?
No, it just kind of rests.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, it rests right there.
There's a couple of versions of those, but okay, yeah. But you've got... that way you can just set it up and let it stand.
Yeah. And then the... So in the different gears here, 1 through 5. So 1 is the least amount of assist, and then 5 is the most. And so the throttle does not engage when you're in pedal assist.
Okay.
And so we have a cadence sensor and a torque sensor. So a cadence sensor senses when the pedals have turned 90 degrees.
Okay.
And then the torque sensor, obviously, when you apply a torque to the pedals.
Right.
The cadence sensor is what initiates the motor, so you have to turn the pedals a certain amount before the cadence sensor will then kick in.
Okay, so you have to have a cadence. So it's not a free ride then.
Well, so yes, exactly. And also it's kind of a safety thing too, because if you just did torque, say if you were stopped and it was a torque only sensor and you pushed down too far or fast, you could kind of, the bike could get out from under you.
Sure.
So it leads to a smoother takeoff as
okay.
well. Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems just like it's assist as opposed to doing the work for you. It's assisting your pedal stroke.
Exactly. Yeah. So, unless of course you're doing the throttle only.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can run it on throttle. You could just coast along on electric power.
Correct. Yeah. So it's got both.
Gotcha. So if you're just gonna throttle it and not pedal at all, how far could you get?
Well, you know, all things held constant, all externalities held constant.
On a flat maybe, street like this one.
Yeah. So you're going to get between 18 and 20 miles.
Okay. It's
yeah.
not bad.
Yeah. So for a quote-unquote normal-sized person, I guess, and on a relatively flat, that'll be good. You know, with pedal assist, you can get between 30 and 50. It just depends on how much work you want to do.
Sure. Yeah.
And how much you leave up to the motor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice. Has battery technology changed? I'm sure it has, but...
So the e-bike market's really interesting. What's happened with the car, electric vehicles, just in general, mm-hmm. All the pricing and weight has come down because of battery technology.
Yeah.
And so the same thing's happening for e-bikes as well. So now that the batteries are so much lighter, I mean, the original electric bikes weighed 100, 125 pounds, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But now with lithium ion, you can really get the bike weight quite low. So that has definitely affected, I think, a lot of manufacturers' ability and sort of desire to get into the electric bike market because
okay.
it's becoming more feasible.
Sure.
We're at Interbike the last couple of years, and it's just it's amazing how much this segment is growing.
Right.
I think traditionally it used to be for kind of enthusiasts and... retired people mm-hmm. for the most part, but e-bikes are huge in Europe and Asia. I mean, everybody uses them. It's just kind of it's seen as just a different type of bike.
Right.
And so we think that there's sort of an opportunity there for a number of reasons.
Yeah, it seems kind of maybe like adaptive in a way, like this would be great for people who like the idea of bicycling around town but are not necessarily excited about it, like they don't do a lot of bicycling, so this could be a good like entry point or something like that.
Absolutely. You know, our philosophy is kind of there's a bike for everyone, and so this is the bike that we have. There's a couple reasons. So, you know, we have our flagship product, which is the 2.0, and two-wheel culture in the United States is not nearly as big as it is pretty much everywhere else in the world. And so we want to innovate around urban mobility, and so we sort of came up with the 2.0. And the e-bike was a nice complement because it's a market that exists, but it doesn't exist as big as it is in other parts of the world.
Right.
And essentially, when you're in throttle mode, it's kind of like a beginner two-wheel electric vehicle.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting with how Portland's changed in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, you're seeing a lot of you know, taller apartment buildings going in downtown. I mean, just how Division's changed in the last 5 years even has been
right
crazy.
In the last 1 year even.
Yeah, indeed. I was in the restaurant industry before I was in before I got into electric vehicles. Ah. It's just funny, like, how many have sprouted up.
Yeah.
I live on the northeast version of Division, which is Alberta.
Okay. Right, right. That happened, like, 5 years ago. That was when that first, like, exploded. Right?
Yeah. And but you're also seeing people that used to live closer in are moving into neighborhoods like Lentz,
like where I live right now. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and so like I have a buddy who you know, he lived off of like 39th and basically Clinton for the longest time.
Okay,
and he used to commute downtown every day to work. But now he lives. He bought a house out here in Lentz, and
right.
So
because that's this is the house buying area.
Exactly, exactly. And it's just a little bit more of a trek. And
yeah.
So. I mean, he still bikes, but just not as much as he used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of see the e-bike sort of fitting in, as you said, for that the person who maybe has a little bit longer of a commute.
Right.
You know, it's only a downhill ride to downtown from here.
But then there's an uphill ride
exactly.
as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I met a lady who lived on like 136th and Powell, I think. And I remember she said that the only reason she can bike is because she has an e-bike, because she had this enormous hill at the end. I don't know if that was Powell Butte's flanks or something else, but
yeah.
But she just said that, yeah, this is like the only way that I would ever be able to make it home, because that hill is a killer. Everything else is fine, but getting home, you need that extra kick,
yeah,
that extra assist. So, yeah.
So, you know, our philosophy, so we're obviously, as you saw, we're a California-based company. I've been in Portland for 15 years now.
Yeah.
I've been with the company for 2.
Nice. I think you and I probably moved in about the same time then.
Okay. Yeah. Where'd you move from?
I came from Tacoma.
Okay. Right on. I came from California. I came and I got here and I never looked back.
Yeah. Well, it's better here, right?
Yeah. You know.
It depends on which part of California you come from.
From the Bay Area, you know.
Right,
so
right.
It's, the family's close, but, you know, I fell in love with Portland as soon as I moved here. And, sight unseen, so I lucked out on
right.
that one.
Well, congratulations, but I could go one of two ways.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad I chose Portland. Yeah, but it's interesting, though, because I think there's also a stigma around e-bikes in Portland, you know?
Sure. Well, it's like, is it the whole, like, cheating or whatever?
Cheater.
I felt that, because I remember I was on, you know, the path up from Gateway down to Park Rose. I was going up that hill towards Gateway on the bike path there, and I remember somebody passing me on an e-bike. And it was like 90 degrees, and I was like, but that was really a growl of jealousy, I think.
Well,
it sucks riding uphill in the heat in the middle of the day.
Absolutely.
90 degrees. So, yeah.
And, well, so, like, as far as, like, the, so our approach, I guess, to that is that we're very cognizant of that the e-bike isn't. You know, we're not just going to show up on everyone's doorstep and be like,
sure,
we exist, so come buy this, you know?
Not expecting, like, all the bicycle people to come flock immediately, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've gone to a couple, you know, nonprofit entities here in town that we're talking to, and I'm really taking that a bike for everyone approach, you know? It's like, we're looking currently for business and government partners that it makes sense. Basically, they like what we're doing, and they want to be a part of it, and we can partner together, you know?
Right.
Like I said, it's all about if this e-bike could get somebody who would normally drive using the awesome bike infrastructure that we have here in Portland.
Right.
It's a win, you know? And I think that, you know, some people will never come over, you know, understand it, but a lot of people are understanding that, you know, the e-bike isn't as evil as as they previously thought.
Sure. Well, and it would be cheating if you were, like, if you were in some sort of race where, you know, your bicycle type and choices were restricted. And, I don't know, if you were, like, you know, in cyclocross maybe.
Sure.
And you were passing somebody on a hill that everybody else had to carry their bikes up. Like, that would be cheating.
Yes.
But, in a way, I don't know, you're almost cheating the system on an e-bike because, I don't know, it's like the best of both worlds. You have the technology working for you, but you're not burning nearly as much fossil fuel as you would be if you were driving a standard gasoline vehicle.
Absolutely. I mean, and we have the benefit that, I mean, we have so much clean electricity in Portland.
Right, more than ever before,
yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it makes it even all the more better, you know?
Yeah. Have you encountered resistance from bicycle types? Have you had any pushback or any sort of, like,
Well, our physical presence in Portland is relatively new, last December.
Okay, yeah.
And so I've really been going out, and like I said, I come with an olive branch and the bike, and I say, hey, this is what we're about. You know, we want to get more people on bikes.
Yeah.
And this is our version of a bike that we're carrying. And, you know, we want to exist within the community. We don't want to, like, punch into the community or just drop into the community. We want to be at the table with everyone else and support the community, and hopefully the community will support us as well.
Right, right.
That's the attitude I think that we have to have. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of fortunate in that, you know, my company is okay with me taking that approach, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to punch their way in.
Right, right. I mean, in the end, of course, we want to sell bikes, but
that's what business is about.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's always a bottom line, but we can go about it, and there's a bunch of ways we can go about it, and I think that we're trying to do it in a friendly way, you know. We want to be a part of this community.
I was just curious that I'll try and get some pictures of this before you pack it away too, but
send you some too.
That'd be cool. Yeah, you probably have better pictures than I could take. This whole screen area you showed me earlier, it's got the the gear shifting for the electric motor itself.
Right.
What else does it tell you?
So there's a tripometer, an odometer, and then obviously your battery life here.
Okay.
And then speed.
Okay, there we go. Mm-hmm. So kind of a little dashboard sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, pretty simple. There's a backlight for it too, so it's good at nighttime as well.
Yeah. Are there running lights built in?
So no, there's a couple things that you know, you can attach lights that are powered by the vehicle itself.
Okay. But those would be like aftermarket.
Yeah, you know, we basically for a couple reasons is that we're aware that, you know, the biking in Portland is definitely there. It's to use the PC Mac analogy, like most people don't just buy a bike with all the components that they want on it.
Right.
You buy a bike and you're like, but I want this seat.
Then
I want these lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just because you get those, you have, you know, as you bike, you know, you kind of have favorites and things like that. So
right.
Partly that. And also, you know, when you attach, weight's also an issue. So if we were to attach a light that had the generator and stuff on it, it's weight. So you can add that if you'd like to,
right.
But we were trying to keep it, you know.
Yeah, totally. Is there a way to tie that into the electrical system that powers the bike itself, or would that be, are we talking about battery lights and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's battery lights.
Okay. So.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the battery on the bike that comes with the bike moves the bike.
Correct.
And then you supply your own lighting.
Right, right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. I was looking at, we've got a Shimano shifter in back, and let's see. I was going to say, this is really close to the arm that I have on my bike, the crank and everything. But, yeah, I like Shimano. They do a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're pretty dependable.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and, you know, obviously the gears, you do less shifting on an e-bike just naturally just because of the assist and things like that. But
right.
It's nice to have something that's of quality.
You got disc brakes.
Yep.
And there's a key here. This is the key that releases the battery. Is that it?
Yeah. So you just turn the key to take the battery out.
Okay.
And then once it's in, you can take that with you.
You just hang on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I suppose I should test ride
this.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you been on an e-bike before?
Once. Yeah, yeah. It was not enough to feel like I actually knew what was happening. So we got helmet here. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't go dying on me.
Yeah, seriously. That's no good. Nobody likes that. All right.
Yeah,
so what do I need to know about?
So we'll kick the kickstand up. So,
all right.
Go ahead and you'll start off in one. So that's the least amount of assist.
Okay.
I'd encourage you to go up to five to kind of get a feel for it. You know, mess with whichever gear you're obviously
sure.
Pretty low gear here. And then definitely go down all the way down to zero and try the throttle just to give it a whirl.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, this is my wife, Adele.
Hi, Adele.
Hi. This is Tim.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's see. It's in four right now. And should I start at one?
Yeah, start at one. And then
just see what happens?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, there we go. Yeah, and if you want to try it out, he's got a release you could sign. And,
yeah. We also have a step-through cruiser model.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Nice. Uh-huh. For the ladies.
For the ladies.
That's the one I ride.
See, this is a quick release, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Stick that up. Just I'm bringing up maybe a little bit more. There we go.
There we go.
And who knows, that might even be too high. But
too bad we don't like live on a big hill.
Right.
Experience the.
Oh yeah, I feel the kick right there. Okay, so that's one. Okay. So I'm here at a stop sign, making a U-turn, gonna make another pass past the van. Wow. You can feel that kick at the start.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
It's like someone's kind of pushing you.
Right. Okay, so up to number two. Got index shifting here. Okay, I'm all the way up to five now, and it feels honestly like I'm going almost faster than I feel I should be, but not in a bad way. Okay, coming to a stop sign, stop here. I'm gonna make a U-turn again. I can feel that electric motor kick right in. Okay, so from a dead stop at the highest power level, here it comes. And it's like magic. ...18 miles an hour. Okay, and then I'm just going to take the assist all the way out and try the throttle. And I'm just powering right along. Holy shit. That's intense.
It's pretty fun though, right?
Yeah. So the last leg that I did there was all in throttle. And once you're at speed, you can just like... It's like having a tailwind, really.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if it's powered by wind power coming from Eastern Oregon, it's like a tailwind in a box.
Yeah.
Or something. That's intense. It's really nice, though. It feels like the place I noticed the assist most was from a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it just gets you going.
Right.
And then it's funny because a lot of people like for the hills to use the throttle, but when you're doing that, you're basically just asking the motor to cart you up the hill.
Right.
And what's fun actually is to get started, I'll start in throttle and then kick my gears all the way down and kick the motor all the way up.
Oh, sure.
So then I can just kind of, our right now our showroom and warehouse is up kind of near the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Alderwood.
Okay.
Like I said, I live in Alberta, so.
Yeah.
There's a
hill.
Huge drop there for Columbia. You know?
Right.
Like, I come down on 42nd. I mean, going down with the assist is fun, but getting up it, you know, even some cars are like...
It's like obviating the hill. Right. Yeah. I go up and down. Well, actually, usually I go up Vancouver Avenue because that's the gentlest approach to that whole hill and
Absolutely.
Ridge system. But in the mornings, I go down 33rd because it's the fastest way there. So I could see myself going back up 33rd if I was riding one of these.
Yeah.
Because that and the start, like the start from a stop sign, from a standstill, like that's the hardest part. And I feel like even when I'm riding, like that's the reason sometimes I don't stop at an intersection.
Mm-hmm.
If we had that Idaho stop law, we'd be just fine.
Yes.
But we don't.
No.
The reason that I... oftentimes don't stop at an intersection is because it takes so much energy to get started again. So I could see this helping with compliance.
Yeah.
this is the sort of thing that if more people had an electric assist, especially when they're starting out.
Right.
Like if they've never bicycled before, I could see people might not care about stopping as much if they could get started again without so much physical effort. So.
Yeah.
Huh.
Can I give it a quick whirl?
Yeah.
Please do.
And so I just start pedaling and that's when it kicks in?
Yep.
All right. Oh, wow. Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, it's actually surprising how fast it kicks in.
But, yeah.
So I'm curious about the gearing, like the physical gearing.
Yeah.
With the chain and the teeth. I think I was starting in different kinds of physical gearings. And I think I was still in the one.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like it was the same amount of assist no matter what. Is that the case?
Yes. And so what the physical gearing does for you is it's mostly for hills, right?
Okay.
So because it is torque and cadence sensitive,
mm-hmm.
If you're going up a hill, if you're in a big gear, you're just not going to be able to turn as many times.
Sure.
Right? And so the motor will assist to that cadence, if you will.
Okay.
And so if you're down in like gear one and you're just going like this, then the motor is just like, keeping you going. So that's what I was talking about. Like on that 42nd hill that I go up, I'm like,
yeah,
yeah.
You can feel that happening.
Yeah. Coming up from Cornfoot.
Right. Wait, is that the name of the street?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. So we're off Alderwood.
Okay.
And there's a street in between 42nd and Alderwood, which is parallel to Columbia.
Yeah.
And it's Cornfoot.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
it's a bunch of tiny little neighborhoods back there. It's a fascinating area.
It really is.
A mixture of industrial and a little bit of residential.
That's really fun.
the random house that's kind of out there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really fun.
Yeah, it's a good... Well, see, that's the thing, the whole thing with our company. Have you driven an electric car?
Yes. Yeah, Car2Go has a couple electric vehicles. I've driven those.
That is a great example. So, actually, I haven't owned a car in going on 10 years now.
Street cred.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I get to drive this guy around, but...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have Car2Go, I have Zipcar, and then I take the bus, I walk, and I bike. I do it all. Me and my wife just make it work.
Yeah.
And, Car2Go is the perfect example of electric vehicles because the internal combustion Car2Go's may be some of the worst cars out there. I mean, I'm a spokesman for my company, so I should it's to say it lightly. I guess this is a Freightliner, right?
Sure, yeah.
Owned by the same company, but I mean the transmission
Yeah,
the transmission is so it's bad, it's clunky.
Yeah.
But when you drive the electric one, because I mean it's, you know, it's just an electric motor in the
real
axle
smooth.
There. So smooth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And imagine, I mean, when you drive a Tesla or even a Leaf or a Volt and things like that, it's the same sort of exponential niceness, if you will. And it's evident in our 2.0 and then, you know, with the bike as well. But I mean, I guess the bike isn't a fair comparison because it's human power otherwise.
Sure.
It's kind of perfect for commuting around Portland. I mean, you can get to and from most neighborhoods only on throttle. I mean, well, that's not true. I mean, there are hills involved. So, mm-hmm. But for most neighborhoods, yeah. I mean, if as long as you do a little pedal assist,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you can go all around Portland.
Yeah. Great.
But, yeah, and so, I mean, just seeing you guys do it, the ride it, you know, you get that, there's a little bit of a smile. It's kind of like, whoa, it's just different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with all electric vehicles. And so that's our main goal right now is just awareness, because I have a feeling that even the most staunch bike enthusiast who's probably never been on an e-bike, you know, if they just tried one out, they would be like, oh, I kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, the staunchest bike enthusiasts, I would imagine, I'm not sure if I qualify or not, but everyone needs a break every now and again.
Yeah.
And the staunchest bike enthusiasts are often the ones that are driving themselves to and from bike races.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe there's a way to hook this up where you could carry your racing bike behind an e-bike.
And
a trailer option, something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
There are better ways, I'm just thinking, than driving yourself in your own personal car to a bike race. That would be, that's my, call that the opinion column or something.
The op-ed piece.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious about security. Like when you take yours out, do you lock up?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How does that work?
I take the key out and then I usually use a U-lock and come, you know, up from underneath the frame here.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, lock it up to a staple or things like. So if you, the other sort of model that we have. Is our step through here?
Okay,
so
there we go.
The step through has a kind of convenient bar for locking up.
There's like a little triangle down there that you could slip your lock through, I guess.
Right, and like I said, I'll send you a bunch of pictures.
Sure. Okay. And it looks like the wheels are bolt-on, so there would be less need to U-lock your wheel or something like that.
Right, right. But I mean, just as with any bike, you know, your preference is between cable or U-lock, you know. I've got both. I usually just U-lock. I think a lot of people, since e-bikes are still new, you know, even thieves or people who would steal would kind of look at this like, I don't know.
Right.
Could I sell that?
Which part do I take?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Catch up to the curve.
Did you notice that Car2Go had a bunch of their rear wheels being stolen recently?
Yeah. Do you know why?
I had no idea.
So it's actually really funny. So like I said, Car2Go is owned by Daimler.
Right.
And so, and Daimler Mercedes. Uh-huh. So the tire sensor that they use for air pressure gauge is the exact same tire sensor that's used in like a $90,000 Mercedes.
Oh, really?
So they just use that same air pressure sensor. And okay. So people are stealing the Car2Go tires because...
Because the pressure sensor is expensive?
They can hawk them for like $40 to $60 a piece. And, I mean, you've seen a Car2Go. They look like toys.
You
two guys could lift them up on a, on a cinder block. And it's so funny. I saw that, too.
Right.
I think
it was on, like, the Portland Reddit where I saw someone that was like, this was my rental today. And it was just a Car2Go with no wheels on it.
Yeah. I commute past not a Car2Go, but a smart car that had one that was missing. And, that like, they're always propped up on blocks or something in the back.
Yeah.
And all you need, I guess, would be, like, a Kroger, a lug nut bar.
Right.
Just, like, to remove them with. I think there was a tweet that somebody had sent with, it was like, Car2Go, please come get your car. And it was like, it had been there for 2 weeks on like near the border, and it was just propped up on blocks. So poor guys. Anyways, all that to say, security is important, but it can be taken care of.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I've got a project I'm working on, but it was really good
to meet
you.
Thanks for giving a whirl.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I never rode an e-bike before and,
And now you have.
Oh, it's fun.
There
now I understand.
See? It's not too bad.
Well, one of the families that I teach at a preschool, and one of the families, the mom bikes her two kids to school, and she's got like an electric assist. So I can see it would be perfectly amazing for like people who are carting their kids around and stuff too.
Yeah.
So, like she couldn't. I don't think she could do it if she didn't have that assist.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
kids.
It's the extra weight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. All right.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, in the end, we know it's fun to ride, and so we're just kind of trying to get people on it, and if we can sort of exist and expand this community, and, I mean, the infrastructure here for biking is just so awesome.
Right, and it's easy to like, see the negative aspects, because it could be so much better, but that being said,
true.
This place
I
is
mean,
way better than a lot of other places.
Speaking of Vancouver Williams, I mean,
oh, the couplet, yeah, in North...
That whole change is just cuckoo bunkers.
Mm. The left justified bike lane.
Yes.
Hard to get used to.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's confusing for drivers, and I know bikers don't like it. It's just weird,
Yeah.
It's like we're still getting cars used to bike lanes being there in the first place.
Right.
And then just flip-flopping it. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know what their justification was for it. I mean, people
get used
to it.
As I understand, I think it was... I want to say it was transit. Like, buses were making a lot of drop-offs. And in rush hour, there are so many bicycles on the Williams corridor.
Oh, that they couldn't.
That buses were having a hard time getting to and from the curb without feeling like they were going to run somebody over, run somebody off the road.
I guess that makes
sense. So I think the idea was that, like, let's take the place with the most bicycle traffic and move it to the other side so that buses and bikes can coexist. But they forgot about all the other private motor vehicles. I think if there were no private motor vehicles, it would be the perfect solution.
Exactly, exactly.
But...
Well, it's funny, too, because you look at to your point, I mean, the biking infrastructure is great for the United States in Portland.
Right.
I mean, you look at biking infrastructure in Europe, and it's just, just centuries ahead.
You know?
I mean, but then in Europe, people think of a bike as a means of commuting, as a means of mobility.
Right. It's a tool as opposed to a hobby or something.
Or even a hobby or a sport, Like,
and people aren't bicyclists. They're just people. And sometimes they ride bikes.
Exactly.
Which seems like a great idea.
But,
Our interview last night, actually, he was saying that he's given up on the rest of the U.S. Like, if Portland ever burns him out, he's just going to Europe or something like that. Like, he's done.
Yeah, it's nice to have the infrastructure we have here. There are other cities that are doing well, but I don't know, I guess I'm partial to
it. Well, yeah, it's easy to be.
Right.
It's a nice place to live.
It's nice to have biking infrastructure between great microbreweries and food.
Yeah, and even, aside from, and again, this is maybe just me, as a resident gushing about the city I live in, but even without infrastructure, the attitude of motorists, like people that are driving in cars... give me so much more respect and room on the road in general than I would get just about any other place I've ridden. So,
yeah.
So part of it's part of it's the paint or the concrete on the ground or whatever. And part of it's just people are used to it happening here.
Right.
And in a way, that's all the cultural shift is almost more important than the infrastructure.
Absolutely.
People would argue with me about that, but I think it's good to have
it's good to have people that care.
Right.
Even if it's just a smidge more than somewhere else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it kind of fills in the blanks of where the infrastructure is lacking. You do have the courtesy, you know. I mean, it depends on where you are. You know, like I said, I'm biking up near Columbia and stuff can be rough.
Right. Yeah, I got a friend that works up there, and he said that he just had a really near miss, which it's easy to believe.
Well, thanks for, I mean, but I've got my corn foot, which
yes.
keeps me off of Columbia, which is, which I'm appreciative of the corn foot.
Get yourself a corn foot. That's hilarious.
We should lobby that at the at City of Portland.
Right. We want corn foots everywhere.
More corn foot, please.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for coming out and taking the time. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Anytime. You know, like I said, I'll be listening from here on out.
It's awesome.
Good to know that we've got some awesome podcasting going on here.
Right.
Right, here in our own backyard.
Our stated goal, I think, is just like... get more people out without cars.
Yeah.
And bikes is a really good way to do that. It's not the way for everybody.
Sure.
But again, the e-bike is a good, like, halfway step for somebody who might not be sure or...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, and I think that the happy medium for me has never been one, you know. I car share, I public transit, and I bike just because, you know, I mean, we can talk about the bicycle infrastructure, but, I mean, the busing infrastructure here is... not to be scoffed at either. I mean,
right. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've got 4 frequent lines within like half a mile of my block, of my house.
Yeah, you know, which is not bad.
No.
I used to have a pass. They used to give us one. And something changed. I think we had too few people using it because I work all the way up on Marine Drive. So
oh, wow.
It's where they keep the school buses. And it's, yeah, it's not the optimum arrangement, but,
no.
You know.
What's that commute like from here? That's actually not. That's
11
not
and a half.
Bad.
By 33rd.
Yeah.
And then 12 and a half by Vancouver.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
But.
Oh, so it's like down on Marine Drive.
Like, yeah. Towards it's like Marine Drive and 6th.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like Bridgeton.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. And I was going to say if you want to hear me and my former co-host rave about the electric motor in the car to go, episode 100, we did a multimodal adventure. It was like we went out for 5 hours and rode every mode that we could find and.
Awesome.
Cut it into like a 2-hour program, I think. So, hour and a half.
I'll definitely check
but
that
yeah,
out.
But yeah, anyways, that's towards the beginning of that, we get in a car to go for the first time. So, it's like both of us being really excited about it.
We'll have a good night.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll definitely be in touch.
Excellent. That'd be cool. And cool. You know your way out of the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hopefully. I'll trust the Google this time.
Perfect.
I didn't before.
Yeah, well, Foster is just like, what, 20 blocks that way or less? So.
It was funny because I could hear my GPS being like, turn left, get off this street. I'm like, quiet phone.
Yeah, no, it's I've had my best friends have gotten lost trying to come here because there are 2 streets with the same name. So tricky.
It happens.
So it goes. Have a great night. Thank you again, Tim. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this special edition of the Sprocket Podcast. You can find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Email us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. We're also on Facebook. Thanks so much to all of our generous donors. Without you, we couldn't make this happen. We're so glad you're along with us for the ride. And we will be back next week with another regular episode of the Sprocket Podcast. Take care. Have a good day. Now brush your teeth, go to bed.
Putting it at 0 and throttling, like, how long would that last if you were just riding along this scooter?
18 to 20.
Hours?
Miles.
Okay.
Miles.
You
probably get a lot closer to 20 than I do.
Okay. Yeah.
You're listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.